Amen. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. When your spirit is trash, when your spirit is trash, if I can draw your attention to verse number 13, where the writer of the Hebrews says something that's a little disconcerting. It can be a little bit bothersome. It can annoy you a little bit. It's a part of what's amazing about God and challenging about God. It's an excellent quality of God, and it's a challenging quality of God, and that is nothing in creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must all give an account. One of the things that I find interesting about this particular moment in time and this day in which we live in is the way that y'all as a mother, and certainly my wife is a mother, and my mama's still alive. So I got my mama as a mother, my wife as a mother, and then y'all as a mother. All of y'all that got little kids, little babies, the way y'all mother. It's powerful. It's wonderful. It's also very interesting to me because the way y'all mothered and the way my mother mothered was just very, very different. My wife a little different, but the way y'all mother and the way my mama mothered, very, very different. The way my mama was you stayed out of sight. That's how my mama mothered. The way my mama was, you played outside. I got in trouble for being gone too long. I had a time when I had to be on the porch by the time the street lights came on, because I had gotten in trouble at 6 and 7, at 5, at going to my friend's house, being at the park, being gone for hours, because the way my mama mothered, I just didn't want to be in her sight all the time. I could be in the house with her. I'm in a whole nother place. I can remember at 4, at 5, I'm at a whole nother place. I'm on the third floor. My mama would call, "Hey, where are you? Come show your face down here." And you'd have to come downstairs. And why are you gone so long? Because we disappeared. We gone. Y'all, the way y'all mama is, your babies are always around. They want to be near you. They want to be all in your face. And they want to play right near you. They want to play in the same room you're in. They don't want to go in their room and play. They don't want to go to the playroom. Your playroom is the living room. That wasn't how my mom. Mama was. My mama said, go play. And when my mama said, go play, we were like, thank you. Glad to be dismissed, because I don't want to be in your sight, because in my mama's sight was judgment. Y'all, they just want your attention all the time. Me, I didn't want my mama's attention, because along with the attention was accountability. Along with the sight was some judgment. That's why they just want to be around you, because you're their friend and you just always complimenting and always rubbing and always. Not my mama. My mama would say, "Fix your shirt. Stand up straight. What is that? Did you wash today? Did you brush your teeth? What's that on you? You had that shirt on yesterday. Don't take that off. What are you eating? I told you not to eat that. Is that gum? Give me that gum." It was just a constant checking you out that made you want to escape it. That's how I am. I judge children. I think I said, put that on the screens. I judge children. Yes, I judge children. I judge them. It's very interesting when I get around them and my eye goes on them and I can tell that they're your child and you don't judge them. They get uncomfortable under the eye of judgment, because they're not used to accountability. They're not used to somebody saying that is acceptable behavior and that is unacceptable behavior. I know I'm not talking. I know somebody had a mama like me. Every word you said was checked. Thank you. You was already about to say thank you. As they were handing you something, they were, you better have the on your lips as they're handing it to you because, oh, somebody don't want no juice. Somebody don't want no ice cream. Somebody don't want no gum. I better hear a thank you. Thank you what? Yes, ma'am. They gave you little verbal quizzes. What do you say? You're like, what do I say? Get out my face. No, no. What do you say? Yes. Yes, what? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, what? Lady Master Mama? It was, there was a judgment. There was an accountability. What happened to that? What happened to the expectation that might even cause some anger? I don't know if you heard about it, but the whole, this past week and last week, all this stuff about Kirk Franklin and his raggedy son done gonna record him and then post it for the world to hear. I told my boys, because let me tell y'all something right now. You cancel me if you want to, but if you put a recorder in my house and listen to me, listen, Brother Kirk, I got your back. Because if somebody records me, tell that dude, Carry On or whatever his name is, tell him to call AJ and Robert. You know, you ought to be afraid when I don't cuss you out. That's when you need to be scared. We're not used to daddies. We're not used to men who will get mad enough to tell you, I'll break your neck. If you don't hear that, you ain't cared about. You must not be loved. You only hear that if I really love you. You only hear that if I really care about you. If I don't care about you, I don't want to break your neck. I'm not crazy. Crazy people want to break strangers' necks. People who have children want to break their own child's neck. Don't even look at me like that. That's the facts. And if I'm not mad at you, that means I have no expectations of you. And there's nothing worse. I've said to my sons, worst thing that can ever happen to you is for me to get quiet. That's the worst thing. All my spiritual sons, if I ain't cussed you out, you ain't really loved. That's how you know you're loved. When I say, what the fa-la-la-la-la, that's when you know that I actually give a dang about you. That is, we're just not used. We're getting so sensitive. We raising these little people that can't nobody be mad at you. Something wrong with you. Y'all know how you gonna have a job. I don't know how you gonna have a coach. I don't know how you gonna have a military. What's the drill sergeant gonna say? Hey, everybody, hi. I'm the drill sergeant. My name is Dan. Is everybody thirsty? Anybody hungry? Can you do 10 push-ups? Oh, you can only do 7. That's okay. We want everyone to feel good about themselves. What kind of world is that? It's a world without men. It's a world without masculinity. It's a world without strength. It's a world without accountability. It's a world separated from any realistic perspective about God. We love to sing that. I quoted a little bit today in the opening. His eye is on the sparrow. Just know that his eye is on the sparrow, and his eye, it's not just for blessing. See, we only want protection. We love this passage that his eye is on everybody. His eye, and nothing in all creation is laid. Everything is laid bare. Everything's uncovered. We love the protection aspect of it. We love the compliments. We love the compliments. Oh, Pastor Ernie, I want you to be my pastor. I want you to be my mentor. I want you to speak into my life. Why? So I can only compliment you? That's what we want. We want the attention to get the compliment. I got to fussing at someone. It was a young woman. I got to fussing at a young woman, and she just was so offended. And I said, well, you wanted my attention, right? She's like, yeah. I said, well, this is it. Do you want me to care or not? Because if I didn't care, I wouldn't be talking to you. It's a waste of my time. You're not paying me nothing. So this is my attention. My attention does bring some protection. My attention does bring, that's why I'm not even a little bit scared. AJ and Robert posting no audio of me, because if I get canceled, who gonna buy your next car? I don't know what you gonna do. Where you gonna live, buddy? What I'm saying is, along with the protection, along with the compliments, along with the blessings and the favor, see, that's what we want. We want the blessings of God. We want the favor of God. We want the mercy of God. Me too. I want it too. But just know that along with the protection and along with the compliments and along with the blessings and favor in the family, there's judgment. You don't get to partake of the blessings and the compliments and the favor and the protection without some judgment. I mean, I can't kill you, so you gonna heal my mouth. One of the reasons Hebrews verse 12 says, for the word of God is alive and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of your heart. There's so much there, and I barely have time to break it down, but the synopsis of it is that the word judges your spirit. The word is so living. The word is so active. It's not just living and active to bless you. It's not just living and active to empower you. It's not just living and active to give you promises. It's not just living and active to give you the Holy Ghost. It's not just living and active to encourage you. It's not just living and active to heal you. Yes, you get the benefits of that, but it's also alive and active and sharp, so that it can divide your soul from your spirit. It's got to give some way for your spirit man to judge your mind. It's going to uncover, and actually, all of creation is laid bare. Nothing in creation is hidden from God's sight. It's not just talking about stuff. It's talking about your spirit. It's talking about the fact that it might just be possible that your spirit's trashy. It might just be possible that there's some stuff in your spirit. It might just be possible that the real you is a spirit, and you have a soul, and you live in this body, and your soul and your spirit are so closely connected that there's got to be something that can get your mind and your spirit in front of some kind of mirror to judge whether or not your spirit is trashy or not. The word does that. The word judges your spirit. Whenever I talk to somebody, and I know I've been making this point, and it bothers you and it bothers me, that we spent a lot of, believe me, it bothers me too, this revelation, this word I've been sharing, that we spent so much time perfecting, flowing in the Holy Spirit, that we didn't really do enough work on our own human spirit. And we ended up with a whole bunch of gifted Holy Ghost people with human spirits that were raggedy, human spirits that were trash. It's just easy to just be baptized. And I don't want to make it seem like it's over. The Holy Spirit is a gift. I know some of us were taught to tarry, but the Holy Spirit is a gift. It's easy to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Breathe in. Get a heavenly language, that's a gift of the Spirit. And to talk in a tongue, that's a gift. To be on this stage and be anointed, that's a gift of the Spirit. This gift comes without repentance. This gift can come without work. This gift can come without any real effort, when it comes to building, that there's gifts of this prophetic anointing and word and knowledge, and we sought the gifts, and me too, but we don't want to seek them so much that we don't do the work on our own human spirit. I need a witness, really. I need somebody to say, my God, Pastor Andy, it's true. And what do we do when we find out I was raised in a church that made me only talk about the Holy Ghost and only seek the baptism of the Holy Ghost and left my own spirit undeveloped? How do you know that your spirit's got some trash around? You're going to have to take out the trash. Your human spirit has trash in it. How do you know that? Ways to know that you got more trash floating around in your human spirit than word. I can give you some ways for you to know. Number one, and it's interesting that I started off talking about parenting, because the way that a lot of us were parented, we were parented to one reason why I'm fussing about it and making noise about it is because we were parented to develop a bit more character in our human spirit. One of the ways to know that your spirit's trashy and you got some trash around and maybe your spirit is turning to trash is what you do and say when you don't get your way. What do? And what do you say when you don't get your way? What do? And what do you say when someone says no? What's your response? Anger? Tears? Silence? In other words, manipulation. I was saying to a young mother the other day, if the minute a child can speak, anything else is manipulative. If that child can say, I don't want to go to bed, if you say it's time to go to bed, and they say, I don't want to go to bed, your first response should be, who said, who asked you what you wanted to do? You better take yourself up to that bed before you don't wake up for 3 days, before I pull a Kirk Franklin on you, before I pull that Pastor Andy on you, I'll break your neck. You know, see, I'm sorry. I don't mean to make light of it, but we got to get back to saying something. If you say it's time for bed, it's time to brush your teeth, it's time for a bath, it's time to do your work, and you get anger, you get tears, you get pouty, you're getting manipulation. The way I was raised was, if you want to cry, I'll give you something to cry about. Oh, I know I'm not the only one. What's that work for? That work is to get you to know, you don't give me something when you don't get your way. My God, there are folk who didn't learn that as children. And now in the natural, in the human, in their adulthood, when they don't get their way, they become a manipulator. They get angry, they cry, they go quiet on you. You don't hear from them for a week because they're going to punish you because they want to manipulate you with their emotions because they got some trash in their spirit. Number two, what do? And what you say when you're confronted? Oh my God. What you do and say when you are confronted? What is your response to leadership? What happens if somebody walks in who's on a whole nother level than you and has a whole nother level of thought than you and has lived a whole nother amount of time than you? What do when you meet someone real? What happens? happens when you meet somebody real. This happens with me often. I'm confronting someone and they don't want to deal with the truth of what I'm saying. And so now they want to attack me like I'm fake. And I have to say, yeah, sorry, sweetheart. You don't know anybody like me. I'm old, I'm anointed, and I am not wrong. Now, what they have to do is they have to put you, they got to figure out what kind of category are they going to put you in. They never met a man like you. They never met a woman like you. They never met a preacher like you. They never met a boss like you. They never met a supervisor like you. They never met somebody that know what they're talking about. And instead of dealing with the truth that you share with them, they now have to categorize you with all the people that failed them because they got some trashy stuff going on in their spirit. What you do and say when you are wrong. I've had folk I've confronted just as wrong as rain. And after it's over, there's still a little bit, I'm just a little salty. I'm a little upset. I mean, it's the way you said it and how you were. And I'm like, yeah, see all that right there? That's manipulation. You really need to work on your human spirit now because you try to get a dream from the Holy Ghost, but a leader confronts you and you have an attitude. You just got to look at the thoughts and attitudes of your heart. My God, I'm walking heavy even in my own life. You got some trash you got to get out there, spirit. And the Holy Ghost is in there trying to move and is surrounded by trash. Number three, how do you handle people, particularly difficult people? Woo, I'm just gonna leave this one alone because this is the one that make me have to go to the altar. What do you do? Every now and then somebody will say to me, what if this person who abused you, what if this person who betrayed you came back? What would you do? I'm like, oh, the devil is alive. I'm like, well, I cross that bridge when I come to it. But just the thought of it, it makes me wonder. My immediate response is, I'll slap them. I know I'm not the only one. But then I think, well, what's that say about my spirit? What's in there? Bitterness, rage, anger, malice, envy? These are signs of the fact that there's some stuff that has gotten in my spirit from the world, from the culture, from my mama, from my daddy, from my cousins, from my uncle, from whatever that's in here. And you know what? I'm going to have to take out the trash. Number four, this is another one that's tough. And that is what you do and say when you have to wait. I know I'm not the only one. If I gotta wait too long, I get a little attitude. I start looking at the kitchen. I know my food is ready. I start getting, don't let nobody get their food before me. Don't let somebody get sat before me. Don't let them be white. My God, there will be stuff that will come up out my spirit that will surprise me. I was talking to one of my sisters, and all my sisters are serious women of God, but I was talking to one of my sisters, and she was telling me how she was on her way somewhere, and she had to stop and grab something, and she went into like a Dollar Tree or a dollar store or whatever, and she went in there, and she got the little things that she needed, but when she went to get in line, the line was out the door. It was 25 people in line, only one person working on a Saturday, and she's just sitting there. I mean, my sisters are all educated, so then she's sitting there saying, this is capitalism right here. I mean, you making money, you can't pay another person $10 an hour to come in here, so we don't. And she couldn't really leave. She said, normally I just walk out, but she said, I couldn't. I needed this stuff. I was on my way. And she's like, I'm just in the line just fussing. She's like, there's folk around me that are listening. They're kind of chiming in, and I'm just like this. She said, the longer I waited, the madder I got. Oh, I know I'm not. I said, whoa, Jesus. I said, girl, get off my toes. She said, Andy, the longer I waited, the madder I got. She said, and then I heard myself. I said, whoa, God. She said, I heard myself. My spirit heard my mind. Heard what was coming out of my heart, out my mouth. She said she stopped, and she said to everybody, and she said, because there's folk around her that can hear her. She stopped, and she said, listen, everybody, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. God is giving me a patience test today, and I am failing it miserably. Then she said to the girl that was working, the one person working as hard as they can, she just started saying, girl, you go. Look, we'll wait. You are doing a good job. The girl says, I've been here since 12. It's been this way all day. I'm by myself. They called in sick. And then the whole line started saying, it's okay. We'll wait. And the whole spirit of it changed because somebody had a good enough spirit to check their mouth. One of the most challenging things is that out of the overflow of your spirit, your mouth speaks. We get a chance to see what is in your spirit when something comes out your mouth. We get to find out when you're wrong. We get to find out when you're angry. We get to find out when you wait. We get to find out when somebody confronts you. We get to find out when you don't get your way. We get to find out when somebody says something difficult to you about yourself. And then afterwards, what comes out your mouth is a sign of where your spirit is. I'm walking heavy, my God. What happens when your spirit is trash? What happens when there's a bunch of trash in your spirit? What happens when life, the time, the hurt, the pain, whatever has now caused your spirit to be trashy? Number five, your actions over time. Your actions over time. You know you got some issues with your spirit when you can talk in the short term but can't act over the long term. We get a chance to see what's really in your spirit over a length of time. I may give you a little bit of a benefit when you're in your 20s, but when you start rolling into 31 and 32 and 33 and 34, we got some evidence of some time. You've been on this planet for a minute, and if you have been involved in a behavior for more than 10 years, chances are that's in your spirit. Now you want to speak up and act like that's not you. But you know what? You 40, dude. That's you. Dude, you're 50. That's you. This is not a misunderstanding. Your actions over time have shown your spirit. In your spirit is some grimy. In your spirit is some dishonest. In your spirit is some... And now you want to manipulate us who notice it by acting like we have misunderstood you, but you're not 18. You're not 12. You're not 26. You 38. 38 make me nervous. You 38 and you ain't never. You 37 and you ain't never. You 33 and what? So he confronts you and you're 33. He confronts you, and what comes out of your spirit is anger and rage and shame and guilt and upset, and there's no contriteness. There's no brokenness. This this is on men and women. I confronted a young woman on the street, wanted to meet me. I told her, I said, don't listen. I'm preaching hard enough on the stage. Don't call me if you can't handle it. Don't take the heat. And don't get into this kitchen if you can't. Oh, I want to meet with you. I said, all right. When I got on the phone with her afterwards, I heard she said, I think he's trying to break me. Exactly. I am trying to break you. You're right. I am trying to break you because God's word says that a broken spirit and a contrite heart, God will not despise. See, the problem is you don't know the word. You're right. I am trying to break you. I'm trying to find, is there any humility? I've had my fill of self-righteous, think they perfect men. My God. I'm like, dude, don't even waste my time because the truth is you are going to have to face some truth about yourself. Ooh, this is me talking to me right here. In case you get a little attitude, I had to come to grips with the fact that there's some things that are just true about me. I am 50. Look, this is me. See me, love me. And I need to stop lying to everybody and myself. I do think I'm better than you. Do think you're better. You do think. Yeah, and then you've got to go down and take a look at your spirit and say, is this me? Oh, that's kind of trashy. Here's a sixth one. This sixth one is hard. The sixth one is, can you rejoice with others? What happens when somebody gets something you wanted? What happens when their business takes off? What happens when their church blow up? What happens when their money go to the next level? What happens when they sell their house? What happens when they make their deal? What happens when they get pregnant and they have a baby? You've been believing for one, and now they're pregnant with one, and they have a son. You wanted a son, and they had one, and now you don't want to see that baby because your spirit got issues. Oh, I know what that's like. Who help us, Holy Ghost? Me and LaShawn in the struggle to have children. My best friend, pregnant on accident. LaShawn and I had to sit at a coffee shop across from one another, crying and wiping tears. Here we are trying to have a child, and her ghetto brother, God love his soul, got more children than us. We are sitting here saying the devil is a liar, and here we are in the struggle of our life, and her brother, good guy, has knocked somebody else up. You've been praying and believing God and trusting and at the gym and just saying, bring him, oh Jesus, bring Boaz here, my Lord, my God. And then your raggedy, ratchet friend who don't even know she, how does she get somebody? How are you at the wedding? You're getting a glimpse into your spirit. You've been trying forever and they go viral. My Lord, my God. You've been talking about relationships forever. This is mine. You've been talking about relationships forever and then somebody write a book and go viral. And you are like, well, what is this about? You get to find out what's in your spirit if you hate or not. Haters got hate in their spirit. That's a hard one. That's a hard one. Because it's just something about us. We love ourselves and we cheer for us. And yeah, we want to cheer for you, but really we want to cheer for us. And we get a little attitude when somebody gets some favor on them. I've lost people who were faithful to me because they saw somebody else get favor. They saw somebody else get favor that they wanted and they couldn't take it. They was here. They told me they were here for me, but really they were here for the stage. And then I had the nerve to fly somebody else in here and put them on this stage. Oh, they couldn't take it. They could not rejoice. They could not say, well, maybe my time's coming, because they got a lot of Holy Spirit, but they don't got a good human spirit. Ooh, stepped on my own toe there. That they don't even want to go to the service and hear somebody speak that they think they're better than. Ooh, hurt myself right there. You better check yourself. I had to check myself. I had to go down and say, now what is that? The disciples said to Jesus, they rejected us. Shall we call fire down out of heaven on them? And Jesus said, what? Where did that come from? Where did the revenge come from? So wait. You ready to burn somebody down because they reject you? So he don't want to be with you. So now he can't see his child. Okay, you just found out your spirit is trash, baby. And you are using your child now as a pawn to punish him, because hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. And since you are scorned, you have decided, since he don't want you, he can't see his child. He care about his child. He don't care about you no more. But that's not acceptable. So now you're going to make it as difficult as possible. And I know everybody's scared to tell you about yourself but me. But I want you to know you got some issues in your spirit. Woo, God. She shouldn't have to take you to child support court, bro. She shouldn't have to take you to court to get child support out you. That is ridiculous. It was your child to be. It came out your body. You ought to provide for it. I was talking to my best friend, and we said the other day that pretty much what really should happen is you have a baby, and it's yours. Imagine, son, if every dude had to raise his child. There'd be no single mamas. It'd be like, I had your baby. Here you go, John. I bet you dudes be wearing condoms then. I bet you people be careful then. I bet you that would cut down the Tinder hookup way down. I bet it'd be a whole nother world. Your spirit's trash, dude. I'm sorry. But you don't know what she did to me. She made me mad. I hear you, son. But I'm sorry. Something wrong with you if you won't take care of your own child. I don't know how I got on that, but that was my sixth point. And then number seven, you know I got to give you sevens. Number seven is, seventh way you know maybe there's a bit more trash in your spirit than needed is, can you covenant? Can you agree with anyone? How many churches have you joined? No one's good enough for you. Every ministry's bad. All of the preachers are awful. We all failed you. Maybe you can't covenant because you got some stuff going on in your spirit. You can't follow nobody. No man's good enough. Every man ain't nothing. All of them. Every woman is a waste. All of them are mean. They all bees. They all nasty. All. So you can't find anybody to covenant with. 38, bro. This stuff ain't cute no more. It was a little cute when you was 28. 30, 31, we give it to you. 33, okay. Jesus died at 33. We all right with that. 34, we starting to wonder. 35, we trying to see what your friends are like. Are y'all switching or are you walking with your legs? We are starting to wonder. 37, okay. 38, it's starting to not be cute. You can't covenant with nobody. No one qualifies. You can't work nowhere. You can't keep a job. It's all a conspiracy. I got a, they got a job. He got a job. You can't find anybody to pastor you. No one to minister you. No one to bishop you. Maybe the problem is you. Oh, man, that was a bullet that came across my shoulder. Maybe the problem is me. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. My God, I need the blood of Jesus. My God, I need the anointing. My God, I need his forgiveness. I need the love of God. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Because I'm sitting around blaming you. And maybe the problem is my own human spirit. No church qualifies. Something wrong with your spirit. What do you do when your spirit is trash? And it just leads to my next question, because I know like you, like me, we all are like, well, a couple of those hit me, Pastor Andy. And I'm like, yeah, a couple of them hit me too. Don't write me no letters mad, because I need Jesus myself. Well, okay, so since the word says that every inclination of our heart is wicked from birth, since Paul said, what a wretched man I am, who will save me from this body of death? When I would do good, evil is present. I want to do good, but I want to do evil. Oh my God, I wish I had a witness. I've been saved my whole life, Holy Ghost saved, and still want to do the wrong thing. I need help with this spirit. My human spirit's got some stuff going on, and I need the Holy Ghost. I need church. I need to. That's why we're trying to get you to open it back up, Pastor Andy. I know you need church, because without God, where will you be? So what's the solution, PA? How do you fix a trash spirit? How do you take the trash out? Okay, I got you. I was confronted and trash came out. Somebody told me the truth, and instead of dealing with it, I cried, I got mad, I got angry, I fussed, I yelled, now I just found out that there's a whole lot of trash in here. How do I fix that? How do I take out the trash? That's a great question. And I've got several ways to tell you how to develop your spirit and how to get the trash out. And to hear that, you will have to come back next week. Put your hands together if you heard a word from the Lord. If you heard a word from the Lord. Can I get you to give? Can I get you to give? Man, that should have been one of the ways to know what your spirit is like. Because the word said each person should give as they've decided in their heart to give. Can you hear the voice of your own spirit? Can I get you to give? Can the voice of your spirit override the fears of your mind? Can I get you to sow? You can just text WOE online to 77977. It's right there. We gave our tithes. Our tithe belonged to God. This is our offering. This is our offering. We gave our tithes. This is our offering. Everyone that's planning on registering to come to the service, May 2nd, looks like it's going to be May 2nd. You bring an offering with you. Don't take up a space for somebody that has an offering. Bring a sacrifice. We bring a sacrifice. It's one of the ways to know where your human spirit is. What happens when somebody says sacrifice? There's an eighth one right there. What happens when someone says sacrifice? What happens when it's painful? I said to someone in one of these calls, I said, do I seem harsh to you? They said, yes. I said, good. Good. Did this hurt? They said, yeah, it hurt. I said, good. Good. No pain, no gain. Y'all just doing this because y'all want our money. Yep. Yep. We want to bring a sacrifice. This is an altar. This is church. This is the kingdom of God. This is how it works. You give and it's given unto you again. I need you to give at least $50. We are on our way to a wealthy place. God's got a plan for us. And many of us are blessed more than ever before. There are many of you watching. You have had the best couple of years. Other folk are struggling, but you have had the best year ever. You need to give God. You need to give God praise. And you need to give an offering above and beyond your tithe. Not gonna beg you. It's a test of your spirit. I can tell you now, one of the ways to develop your spirit is sacrifice. Something happens when you sacrifice. Can I get you to give? I could talk to you about all the stuff that we're doing, and we are on our way, and we're pulling information together to show to all of you so you can see our vision and where we're going in 3 years, and everyone that's in our area, World Overcomers, it's powerful. We got a piece of pride. It's amazing. I could share that with you, and I will, but right now, I want you to activate this word. I want you to say, good God, I've got some trash going on. I done found out, man. My supervisor came in here the other day, and when they left, I broke my chair. I got some anger in my spirit. There's some bitterness in here. There's some rage in here. There's some malice in here. I actually wish they would die. Oh, help us, Holy Ghost. They got on a plane, and I said, kill them. I said, kill them, Jesus. I wanted 200 people to die to kill one. Oh, God, help us. I done found out there's some stuff in my spirit, PA, that it's not God. Jesus said, what spirit is that? We calling fire down? What spirit is that? Can I get you to give? Activate the supernatural power of this word. Because for some of us, for our spirit to get together, we're going to need oil. Come on, let's bow our heads and pray. God, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for this word. Thank you for this time. Thank you for this moment. In moments like these, we want to say thank you. In moments like these, we want to tell you we love you. We just really want to tell you we love you. We just really want to tell you we need you. We just really want to tell you, God, there's no one like you. Take this offering and multiply it supernaturally. Thank you for everyone that's giving literally around the world. Thank you that you have sustained us. And as we sow, we reap. Do a work in us. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. We all said together, amen. So glad you were with us today, this morning, this afternoon, whatever time it was. I trust you gave to the work of the kingdom of God. You can't worship God with something that costs you nothing. You will not activate it. Trust you heard a word from the Lord. Trust I didn't offend you too much. Trust I didn't offend myself too much. Trust that you heard a word from the Lord. I'm not sure you heard a word if it don't bother you a little bit. And I'm going to be back here next Sunday. I'm going to give you part two on what to do when your spirit is trash. How to take out the trash. Write that down, son. How to take out the trash. That's going to be next Sunday because we all got some trash to take out. Some of us need a dumpster, Johnny. Good God. Some of us need a dump truck to back that beep, beep. Some of us got baggage. Some of us got stuff that we brought with us from Wisconsin. Some of us got stuff that we done had with us since. Some of us got stuff that gave it to us in Flint. Some of us got stuff that we need the Holy Ghost. Help us. I'm messing with my sons in the room. That we need the Holy Ghost. How do I get rid of that trash? I'm going to talk about that next Sunday. Come on, let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for teaching. Thank you for the teaching anointing. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. May the Holy Spirit rest on us. May the Spirit himself bear witness with our spirit that we are children. If we're children, then we're heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs, co-heirs with Jesus Christ. If we are willing not just to partake of the glory, but to deal with the suffering, God, break the yoke in us right now. Heal somebody's body right now. Change somebody's mind right now. Make a way for somebody right now. Do a work worthy of your name. We promise to praise you. And God, as we always pray, bless your people. Make your face shine upon your people. Be gracious to your people. Peace to your people. Favor on your people. May your eyes be on your people. Give us peace. And may the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight. My God, you're our rock, you're our redeemer. We love you. In Jesus' name, we all said together, amen. God bless you. See you next time. See you next Sunday. See you next week.